This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Legislators have assembled a conference committee to work out the final details of a tax reform bill that has been at the center of budget negotiations for months. Ashton Marr reports the committee intends to do the bulk of its work today.
Lawmakers have spent since the end of the regular session in March formally and informally negotiating the tax reform bill that began in the state Senate. The Senate Republican-backed plan largely aims to repeal the personal income tax in exchange for a higher consumer sales tax. Governor Jim Justice joined the Senate in support of the initiative on the final night of the regular session, but during the past few weeks has been met with resistance from Senate Democrats and members of the House. Wednesday, both chambers voted to send the bill to a formal conference committee to hammer out a final agreement. Senate President Mitch Carmichael says the conference committee is a symbol of progress on a deal.
Frankly, it's not what everybody wants. I think that's the process, is that, many people will say a good deal is when everybody walks away and no one's particularly happy about it. And so that's kind of where we're at.
The current plan, backed by Governor Justice, includes an increase of the consumer sales tax from 6 to 6.35%. And gets rid of a number of exemptions. It also restructures the personal income tax brackets and calls for a 7% overall reduction in the rate in 2018. Those rates would continue to be reduced according to certain economic triggers, triggers that House Finance Chair Eric Nelson explained to the conference committee will be at the center of their work. That's because they've yet to be determined. Other areas of focus for the conference committee include the rate of the increase to the consumer sales tax, which Senate Majority Leader Ryan Fearns said Wednesday could be as much as 6.5% in the New Deal to ease the concerns of some members. The final area of contention between lawmakers is whether to charge the sales tax on construction labor, a tax that could generate more than $40 million in additional annual revenue. The tax reform plan will be the base for a budget bill that lawmakers must approve by June 30th to avoid a government shutdown. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara at the State House.
Are concussions more prevalent, or are more people paying closer attention to symptoms that are tied to concussions? Julian Bells, MD, Director of Neurosurgery and Co-Director of the North Shore University Health System Neurological Institute, will be in Huntington Friday night to speak about concussion prevention and what's next. Clark Davis talked with Bells about concussions in today's sports world.
So are there more concussions now, or a better awareness in the evolution of this?
It's probably some of both. There's been more education, more research, more understanding of concussion than ever before in the last few years. And there's more people, whether it's athletes themselves, coaches, and especially parents, recognize what concussion is and what the symptoms are.
What are the general tips that you want to get out there as to how to prevent these concussions from occurring?
Well, the number one thing we've tried to do at every level of football, for instance, from the NFL on down to Pop Warner football, is we've tried to eliminate unnecessary head contact. Hitting your brain doesn't help anyone. And so I think at every level of sport, it's been recognized that we need to take out unnecessary or gratuitous head contact. So we've eliminated the egregious over the middle open field head-to-head hits, targeting of the head by another player. We've eliminated excessive brutality in play, for instance.
Are people being smarter, or are they just taking the threat more seriously than they have in the past?
Oh, I believe they are for many reasons. The knowledge about concussions has led to an increased awareness of the potential seriousness, both short and long term. So yes, they've been taking much more seriously than before.
Are some of these prevention techniques that you mentioned that different leagues are implementing, are they in fact getting at the problem, or are they in some ways just lip service?
No, I think they're getting to the problem. And look, it's about all we can do. All sports that have speed and running have the potential for collisions. And whether it's purposeful head-to-head hits, or whether it's a style of play that's rough, or whether it's just athletes running like baseball, basketball, soccer, there can be the potential for concussion or head impact. So all of these have to be considered.
Is that tough from your perspective to get that message across that there is going to be a number of concussions no matter what you do?
Parents especially have to realize if their children are not at, say, football practice or games or soccer or ice hockey, what are they going to be doing? They're not necessarily going to be in risk-aversive activities. So everything we do, we have some risk as parents, as league administrators, as coaches. We try to minimize that. But look, we teach our kids to do a lot of things as they grow up. We teach them to hunt. We teach them to swim. We teach them to ride a bicycle. And we teach them to play sports. All of these things have inherent risk.
How many go undiagnosed nowadays?
Well, we don't know. It depends on the level of play and the type of sport. We just don't know. There's not been a good study of who goes undiagnosed. We know that some athletes either don't recognize or perhaps they don't want to report. I believe that nowadays the majority of known concussions get reported.
What would you say to parents who have young children that may want to play football or ice hockey and they have worries about the possibilities of head injuries?
Well, I believe it's important for the kids and the parents to both understand what a concussion is, how they occur, how you can prevent it from being excessively exposed, and what the symptoms are and the obligation to report the symptoms. The parents and the athlete, and especially the athletes old enough to understand all that and be able to report, then I think they all have to look at the risk-benefit ratio, what they have to gain. And if they understand all that and they accept the risk, then I think sports are great and they should be enjoyed by all of those who adhere to those simple rules.
Thank you for joining me, Dr. Bales.
Okay, you're welcome. Anytime.
Dr. Julian Bales was portrayed in the 2015 movie Concussion. The Marshall University Joan C. Edwards School of Medicine is hosting Dr. Bales Friday night at 7 in the Memorial Student Center. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:51. Variable cloudiness today, a chance of rain and thunderstorms with highs in the 60s and low 70s, a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 50s, partly sunny on Friday with highs in the 70s, and mostly sunny Saturday with highs in the 70s and 80s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. In the second week of A Change of Tunes 30 Days of West Virginia Music series. And we've heard from a variety of genres and artists who are making the hills come alive with the sound of music. And that includes Whiskey Victor, a pair of Morgantown sisters, who mix their love of Appalachian music with their classical studies at West Virginia University School of Music. Joni Deutsch spoke with the sister folk duo Anna Kate and Shannon Bean about their experience working and playing music in the Mountain State and whether they intend to stay or go after college.
Who else in the West Virginia music scene have you guys worked with, whether it's like with recording or shows?
We've played shows with one of our good friends, Martika and William. They're a bluegrass band from Central West Virginia, Hacker Valley. And Emily Adele from Summersville, Key to Adam.
Buchanan.
I think they're from Buchanan. We just played a show with all three of those bands in April, and they're all very, very good, and it was a fun time. It was another benefit for cystic fibrosis.
So looking around, I mean, you haven't been touring or playing West Virginia for, you know, a long, long time, but enough that right. You kind of have a taste of what it is. What's been your favorite part of playing and recording in the West Virginia music scene?
Probably my favorite part has just been the community around the music scene here. Everyone just really wants to help everyone out, and everyone's just super supportive. We play at Jerry Run Summer Theater in Cleveland, West Virginia. It's beautiful. It's my favorite place. And Dusty and Renee, who own it, are just the nicest people. And it's really cool to see the community that they've made there, because there's not really a big town, but people really come out and support each other and support live music. And it's really cool to see it happening.
And I guess you're seeing that too in Morgantown. I mean, I know you've played a few places up there. What's the one thing then that you would like to see change, or the one thing that you, when you do a show, you're like, it feels like this one thing is missing to make this experience better for me, or better for the crowd?
I think probably for starting in Morgantown as a small band, the only place you can really get booked are restaurants, and that can make it kind of difficult to start off, because no one, I mean, people pay attention, but it's not like you have a sit-down audience to watch. Some venues that would book smaller bands to have actual shows, like as openers or something, just like an easier system or some way to help out smaller bands finding these places to play.
Well, what about, I mean, you guys are going through the music school, right, at WVU. Mm-hmm. How's that education informed what you're doing now as a musician?
Well, I think we incorporate classical music a lot into our music. We call ourselves harmonic Baroque folk, and I think the Baroque part of that comes from the fact that Shannon plays the classical viola in a lot of our songs. In the singles we have now, she plays it, I think, in Oslo is the main track she plays it on. But then working the harmonies together, we're both classically also trained singers, so we're able to use, like, the techniques we've learned and everything to make sure that we can get our harmonics, like, on pitch.
Yeah, and I think not only our education, but also the community of the School of Music has really helped, because we have very supportive professors and friends in the School of Music that are really trying to help us get out there and kind of make our name, I guess.
My vocal professor, Rob Chafin, has been a big help to kind of launch us and spread the word around the School of Music. And then all of our fellow musicians who are also studying kind of have spread the word. And that's pretty much the biggest thing when starting out, is letting people know that you're there.
Well, you guys, you know, one of you will be graduating soon. The other, you know, you still have a few more years left at WVU. What will happen to the duo? I mean, are you guys planning on staying in Morgantown, or?
I'm definitely planning to stay at least in the area, so that we can keep going on, because it would be a shame to stop now. We're having so much fun that I can't imagine leaving it.
Do you think there's going to be a time when you guys, you know, could be making this music, but elsewhere?
I can see maybe at some point in our careers, maybe having to leave to progress it, but I would always like to come back here. I'd like to keep West Virginia as our home base, because we've had such good experiences here and we've always been here. So I can't really imagine being anywhere else. Yeah, it'll always be our number one place to be.
To hear the rest of that interview with Morgantown's Whiskey Victor and Joni Deutsch, as well as a Change of Tunes month-long West Virginia music series, go to wvpublic.org/wvmusic. Support for 30 Days of West Virginia Music is provided by Kinship Goods, proud supporter of DIY music and the arts. Local, shipped worldwide at kinshipgoods.com. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, Marshall University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. I'm Teresa Wills.